Scoville for the Quilters on File interview program. Would you state your name, please?
Pat Scoville.
And spell it, please.
S-C-O-V-I-L-L-E.
We're in Fayette County, and it's April 7th, 1983. Pat, do I have your permission to interview you?
Yes, you do.
Thank you. Would you tell me what your husband's name is?
His name is John Jerome Scoville.
And what does he do?
He's a nuclear physicist, and he is the president of a waste management company in Louisville, Kentucky.
And what's your address, Pat?
I live in Anchorage, Kentucky at 603 Arbor Drive North.
How long have you lived there?
Just lived there 2 years.
And where did you live before you came to Anchorage?
We moved to Anchorage to Kentucky from San Diego, California.
Are you employed outside your home?
I own a quilt shop with another person, Helen Thompson. We together are partners in a quilt shop called Kentucky Quilt Corner in Frankfort, Kentucky.
How long have you had this shop?
We've just been open a month. In March 1983, we opened the shop.
Had you ever done this sort of thing before?
No, this is a new experience in my quilt making career.
Has Helen ever done this sort of thing before, your partner?
Yes, Helen owned a shop called So Let So in Iowa City, Iowa, for I think 2 or 3 years, maybe about 5 years ago.
Why did you decide to open a shop?
Well, I'm not real sure why. Helen and I discussed opening a shop together, and I agreed that it would be fun to look into it, and things just started rolling, and all of a sudden, it was open.
How did it actually evolve?
Well, one day I went to Helen's house on some Kentucky Heritage Quilt Society business, and at lunchtime she started mentioning how she was really feeling the need to do something like that again, and wondered if I would be interested in exploring it with her as a partner, and I told her I was interested in exploring it. And we looked in Frankfort because it's in between Lexington and Louisville. Helen lives in Lexington as a logical middle place that we could meet, both commute to. And also because there's a quilt shop in Lexington and a quilt shop in Louisville, and there is not one in Frankfort. And one day Helen decided to drive to Frankfort and look around and found this old building that was being restored right next to the old state capitol on a corner with good display windows, and she was just so excited that she had found the perfect place. So that, it got going faster than we ever thought it would, just because she found a good spot.
Well, what period of time elapsed between the time that Helen spoke of it first and you actually opened it?
I think we talked first in something like September or October. And then
of 82.
Of 82, and then opened in March of 83.
What have been some of the really positive things about it? Some of the good things, some of the things that have been fun about it?
Well, it's a whole new learning experience. To me, that's really fun, to learn about something new and to just learn about something new, study it, and attack it. I hadn't had any retailing experience, so this is all new to me. How you buy goods, where you go to buy goods, how you price them, insurance. And
how do you? Where do you go?
Well, we went to a market in Houston. There's an annual quilt market every year in Houston, and we went there and looked at all the things that the world has to offer to quilt makers and brought home lots of pamphlets and spread them out all over my dining room and just started making piles here and there and everywhere, and ultimately we started ordering, I guess, most everything. All our fabric we ordered in December, and then the rest of the stuff we ordered after the first of the year. And it started arriving like Christmas packages in the mail. And then we opened the shop. In the meantime, we had to look into insurance and signing leases and getting fixtures and building walls and painting, and it was a very busy time. I didn't get many quilts made during that time.
What are some of the negative things about the experience? What have been the downers?
I really can't say that there have been, that I have felt that way negatively about it. Occasionally it gets frightening to think of the responsibility and the investment that's there, you know, that you put into it, time-wise and money-wise. Sometimes you'd think, what am I doing? But really, it's been a lot of fun. We meet interesting people in the shop. It's a fun place to work. If you're going to work, it's a fun place to work at something you love, which you consider a hobby also. Your friends come into the shop, and people that I've never met before would have a common love in quilt making, come into the shop, and we do meet interesting people there. I can't think of anything that I would really consider negative. It's a long commute, and you know, sometimes just the day-to-day keeping the books and keeping up with ordering kind of gets you down. But right now it's new enough that I'm not discouraged.
There are some other questions I want to ask you as far as background and biographical data. One of them is, I wonder if you would tell us about your parents, where they live, and what their occupations are, and spell their names for us.
Okay, my parents are Mr. and Mrs. Edward Pennypacker, Pennypacker. They now live in Virginia Beach, Virginia. My father is Edward W. Pennypacker, and he's from Pennsylvania, and that's a very common name in that area, which wasn't where I lived when I grew up, but he is from the Pennsylvania area and met my mother, who was Elizabeth Marie Hogan, H-O-G-A-N, who was from Missouri, Ray County, Missouri. They met during the war, both working as young singles in Washington, D.C. Shortly after the war, they married. And they were in their 30s, and so he was an FBI agent, and I was born in the Washington, D.C. area and raised there almost all my life. There were 4 years that we lived in New Jersey, and they have lived there until they, except for that small period in New Jersey, they lived there all their married life until they retired in Virginia Beach. And my mother has made some quilts. My grandmother on my mother's side has made some quilts.
And her name?
Blank. Nellie Hogan. And it was Shirky.
And you'll spell Shirky?
S-H-I-R-K-E-Y.
Thank you. And was she from Pennsylvania or from Missouri?
Missouri, yes.
Missouri. Ray County, Missouri.
Uh-huh. And I don't know enough of the genealogy. I think ultimately they came from part of Virginia and moved to Missouri, mm-hmm. Migrated there.
Is your grandmother still living?
Yes, she is. She's still living. And she's 93. And I have to subtract and find that you mm-hmm. can subtract and find out what year that means she was born.
We never found out what year you were born. Do you mind telling us what your age is?
I was born in 1947, so I'm 35.
And your religious preference?
I was raised a Lutheran.
And where did you go to school, and what was the highest level of education that you attained?
Well, I went to public schools all in Virginia and New Jersey as I was growing up. And then I graduated from Auburn University as, graduated from college with a bachelor's degree in home economics. And I haven't gone beyond that, no.
When did you learn to quilt?
Well, after I got out of college, I worked for a living, and
could you tell us how you worked?
Well, I worked as a home economist with Potomac Electric Power Company in Washington, D.C. But I really didn't have time, considering commuting and everything, to get into quilt making, although I loved it, and I took quilt magazines, and I always put them away and thought, someday I'm going to do this. So I stored all these wonderful quilt magazines that are out on the market, and always had a love of it, but I never got around to it until I quit working full time, and then I dove in with both feet.
How recently has that been that you
got into quilting
with both feet?
My husband and I moved to California, to San Diego. I had taken quilt making classes in the Washington, D.C. area.
From whom?
At a shop in Bethesda, Maryland called Appalachiana. And I hadn't, I made the blocks that were associated with class, but I never went beyond.
Can you give us a date on when you took the quilting lessons?
I think that was 1975. And then I moved to California and started seriously making quilts and meeting people and getting exposed to the work that other people did. But when I moved to California, I stopped working full-time and really had a gap in my life to fill, and that's where I...
Well, tell us just how you went about filling that gap as far as how you found quilters or how you got into quilting at that point.
Well, I was really kind of lost with nothing much to do, and I didn't have a real vehicle for meeting people in California. My neighbors all worked. And one day I picked up a piece of paper on my front step that was an advertising leaflet put out by a real estate sales company, and they advertised free for people in the neighborhood. And this quilt group had advertised themselves as meeting on Monday nights. And so I picked it up and read it and called this girl, Ann Albertson, that lived in Poway, California, and we got together, and she was a quilt maker and a quilt teacher, and we got together and met on Monday nights, a small quilt group, every Monday night, and just by osmosis, you kind of learn from people that you're around, and they sort of pique your interest so that you you get ready, excited to start a new project, and you start something, and we just kind of feed off of each other's ideas and interest in the art. And then I took some classes also in San Diego from Ann. She taught through the public school system. The college, junior college system, offered a great adult education program in California, and I took some of those classes.
What other instructors have you had?
That's really it, but I have gone to national quilt conventions and quilt seminars and taken workshops from some nationally known quilt makers and quilt teachers like Nancy Crow, Jenny Beyer, Jean Ray Laurie, that kind of thing.
You've had all of those as your teachers?
Just for, you know, one-day workshops or two-day workshops or half-day lectures, that kind of thing. But I've had some exposure to those people, not lots of them, but some.
Michael James?
No.
Maria McCormick Snyder.
I tried, but I couldn't get in. They were too full.
Uh-huh.
I think just Jenny Beyer and Nancy Crow, Jean Ray Laurie. I think that's really it, other than maybe just hearing people lecture.
You say your mother has made some quilts. Has it been since you became interested or when you were a child that she was quilting?
My mother has always sewn and always been very thrifty with material and recycling it into things. And I can remember that she always cut, if she had leftover pieces of fabric, she always cut 4-inch squares or 2-inch squares and made little boxes full of them. They were ultimately going to be made into a quilt. She made the kinds of things that I guess I would call more of a coverlet or something, where she cut apart wool clothes into, say, 4-inch squares and sewed them together and then put a backing on them, bound them, and tied them. And I have some, and I can look at them and see my old coats and my father's suits and things. That kind of thing she was...
Did they have a batting?
Maybe an old blanket, a flannel blanket or something like that. But not a not a batting that we...
And this would have been when she lived in New Jersey and...
Or Virginia. Virginia. Mm-hmm. I remember that.
Mm-hmm. This was probably back in the 40s.
In the 50s? Well, I was born in the late 40s, in the 50s.
Right. I was thinking of her getting married after World War II. Yeah. So it was the 50s and 60s mm-hmm. that she was making this type
this
of
kind
a
of thing.
Coverlet.
Then after I was gone from the home and in college and things, and married, I went back and she had taken my old clothes and made an Ohio Star quilt out of my old clothes, which I hope to have someday, because I can see Mickey Mouse's face, you know, and things like that in it. But, so then she made a kit, a cross-stitch quilt kit for her bed.
Did she quilt it?
Yes, on a frame, floor frame. And she's working on a bow tie quilt for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. I've never, you know, I've seen it get started every once in a while. Then she's also picking apart a quilt that my great-great-grandmother made.
What was her name?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. From Missouri.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. My mother's a genealogist and has all mm-hmm. this information. And she knows.
It'd be your great-great-grandmother, and she's picking it apart. What do
well,
you mean?
It's worn in many areas, so she's trying to take the block, rescue the blocks. And what she wants to do is to repair ones that can be repaired. It's very damaged. It's been very, very worn and very used and very loved. And some of the blocks are intact, but the intermediate set-together blocks, the plain blocks, are worn. She's taking off those great basket blocks and wants to set them together into something else. And the ones that we can rescue are enough to make a wall hanging out of, we think. But the whole thing is so damaged that it's not enough to rescue the whole quilt. But we want to rescue the blocks that we can rescue, and she's going to make a wall hanging out of that.
Are you her only child, or do you have brothers and sisters?
I have a brother who's 4 years younger than myself, born in 1951, Edward Pennypacker, Jr.
Are there any men in your family or in your life that you know of that are into quilting?
No.
I wonder why.
I really don't know. I don't either. I mean, why don't men quilt in lots of families? My grandmother has made quilts, and her type of quilt to make is to take the embroidered blocks that are state birds or state flowers, where you embroider the block and then you set it together with a solid color block. She's made several of those that I've seen, but I've probably gotten into quilt making more extensively than anybody that I know in my family, although the heritage of sewing is there and being thrifty with fabric and recycling things. I don't know of any of my aunts that quilt, and my family is a very large family. I grew up in a family of 2 children, but everybody else has 7, you know? So there's a lot of people, but I don't know of anybody else. I've heard that one of my cousins is now very interested in making quilts and is involved in it.
Well, I gather you've been into quilting about 8 years. Did we say 75?
Well, I guess that's right.
Have there been periods during those 8 years when you did not quilt, and if so, when and
yeah.
why?
Well, actually, when I first started taking quilt classes in Washington, D.C., I was taking them after work just once a week, and then I was divorced. I was married before. You'll have to ask me all about that. But so a couple of years there, I was just getting my life sorted out, mm-hmm. and then ultimately moved to California with my present husband and started quilting again.
So you have been married before. You have children?
No, I don't have any children of my own. But I'm raising some stepchildren.
Oh, you are? Boys or girls? What age?
Actually, we're down to one boy who is 17.
Do you plan to teach him how to quilt?
He makes quilt frames.
Does he?
Mm-hmm. He makes and sells quilt frames. And I've, you know, sold them to several people, and he's made me one, and one for the shop.
I think he does pretty good work.
He's getting better each time. He gets a little better.
How much time do you spend quilting?
Well, That's really hard to say. When I was, before I opened the shop, I guess for 4 or 5 hours a day, probably cut up into different segments. I tend to quilt a lot in the evening and do a lot of my quilt making activities in the evening, just because I tend to run around too much with KHQS.
Where do you quilt?
If I'm piecing on the sewing machine in my sewing room, if I'm hand piecing in the family room in the evening with the family watching television, if I'm quilting the same way, if I'm using a hoop, I'll be with the family in the family room. If I'm quilting something in a quilt frame, I'm usually isolated in a room by myself and tend to get less done that way because I don't like that.
Use TV or radio for company?
Yeah, I don't like to quilt in utter silence very much. I get agitated and fretful real soon. I can get an awful lot done if something's on TV like Shogun or something that I have to watch every series of it. But I don't.
Where do you get your quilt designs?
Well, I have bought a lot of quilt books, quilt making books, and I would say since the middle 70s, quilt making has become very popular again. And a lot of people have put out books, and I just pour through those books and study them. I also am a subscriber to Quilter's Newsletter, Lady Circle Patchwork Quilts, Fiber Arts, and I read and just look at lots of things. And I get them out of books. I draft my own patterns. I get my ideas just from sitting down and looking at things. And, I have lots of ideas in my head. And what makes me start a quilt is that perhaps right now I have the time, or I've got an idea, and I sit down and put it on paper and just get going. I don't have any order to my ideas. You know, you get all these ideas, and because some of them get executed and some of them don't. It just happens to be that you maybe had time to start a quilt when one was floating in your head, you know.
Well, you say you sit down on paper. What do you do first?
Well, I look at, it depends on if I have an idea about what I want to do first. But if I say I want to make a Kentucky quilt, which I wanted to do last year, I looked at patterns that had Kentucky names in them. And then I tried to make something different out of them. And I work on graph paper. Lately, I've been thinking about making a medallion quilt, so I started looking at blocks that I thought were central medallion oriented, and then worked on graph paper, just growing from there.
How do you decide on your colors? Do you use color pencil and try different things, or how would you make your decision after you've made your design?
I usually just pull out fabrics that I like and start working with them. I don't find that colored pencil or pens translate well into fabric.
What patterns do you like to make?
Well, don't feel like I have any kind of set place yet. I think I'm really still exploring lots of things. I like to do pieced work, and better than applique, but I don't reject applique. I find pieced work more fun to do sometimes. Applique, I'm not as happy with. But most of all, I like to do quilting, so I like to leave spaces where I can quilt interesting designs.
What makes a good quilt?
I think a sense of design, I guess. I personally like to see something that's a little bit original, whether it be the use of color or different fabrics. I think that something that is well executed, that the quilting stitches are small and even, that the piecing is accurate, that the applique is all turned under nicely and not frayed anywhere, and that the stitches are either very even or don't show. I think that extremely original avant-garde quilts are neat and interesting, but they bother me an awful lot if the mastery of the craft has not been brought forth. If you get away with making a splashy, colorful, original quilt, but you haven't sewn it nicely, I think that we all need to master the craft. That's most important. And I like to see people doing original work.
Why do you make quilts?
I don't really know why I make quilts. I guess I just enjoy the design. I find it's a lot of room for originality in quilt making. I like to do handwork, and that quilt making answers to me a part of the desire to make handwork, and yet leaves an awful lot of room for personal expression and creativity and doing something different than the next person, more than other needle crafts, such as needlepoint. That's my personal opinion. I feel like there's more room for originality. I like the feel of fabric. It's a very tactile art. It's tactile pleasure. I guess we all like to think we're leaving something for the future, something that's part of us. I don't think I've really thought it out well enough to come up with a good answer, all of the above.
Do you think that you're doing it for a different reason now, the reason that you just discussed, as opposed to the reason you started to do it?
No. I think I've always liked handwork, and I found that that was just so exciting to me. All the possibilities, like Harriet says, you have 1,000 quilts in your head all the time, and you really do. It's almost frustrating.
Have you ever quilted with other people? And if so, who and when and where and what,
yes,
what was it?
I've quilted with my mother and my grandmother. I've quilted with sewing groups in California that we met. We had a quilt group that met every Monday night. There were three or four of us that got together, and we not only worked on our own work, but we shared in each other's quilts. We would baste the quilts together, because that was part of the job that we didn't like doing, so we'd all pitch in and do each other's basting. We also decided at one point to make a joint quilt, and we made, we all donated part of the fabric and came up with a quilt of the monkey wrench design, and then we passed it around and quilted it and drew for it. So I've quilted, participated in those kinds of projects. Since I moved to Kentucky, I belong to the Kentucky Heritage Quilt Society and the Louisville Nimble Thimbles, both of which have made group quilts. And I've shared in two quilts with the Louisville Nimble Thimbles and two quilts with the Kentucky Heritage Quilt Society, piecing blocks and doing part of the quilting. I also belong to a group of women called the Tuesday Girls that meet during the day on Tuesdays in people's homes. And we contribute to quilts for each other. We call them selfish quilts. And so I've pieced on those kinds of quilts with other people. I guess that's the kind of participation I do with other people. I find it's very good to sit down with other people and work together. You get a lot of, first of all, just good old camaraderie, but you also come away with a sense that I really do need to get more sewing done, because I've got to try this, that, and everything else, and it gets you moving. To me, quilt making is very rewarding, because, and not in just the art itself, but in the sense of companionship with other women. And the thing that I have found that's, to me, particularly pleasing is that with other women of other generations, that is something that brings us all together as one generation. And I don't feel like a woman that's 82 is something, you know, different than I am. I mean, we're somehow on the same level. And it spans so many generations, and it's such a warm feeling to get to know so many women in that way.
How did Tuesday's Girls start?
Tuesday Girls started by one teacher that taught at American Accents in Louisville. Her name was Marion Godfrey, and her students all wanted to continue to get together and quilt together after they took their class. So they met at a church in Anchorage, the Anchorage Presbyterian Church. And then when Marion Godfrey left town, she asked everybody to make a quilt with her, and she bought the fabric, and she brought the design in, and we all picked out a block that we wanted to make. And she took it to West Virginia when she moved and finished it and sent it back to participate in the Kentucky Heritage Quilt Society contest. She wanted it to be entered as a group quilt so that we all could see it finished. So therefore, we had to have a name. So we called ourselves the Tuesday Girls, and that's the evolution of the name anyway. But we continued to meet, and now there, you know, there are women that many of them haven't taken classes from Marion Godfrey, but it's just sort of evolved into a group.
How many of you are there?
I think there's about 15 or 16.
And now you mentioned Louisville Nimble Thimbles. Can you tell us a little bit about that organization and when you joined and how many in it and where it meets and this sort of thing?
I don't know much about the evolution of the Louisville Nimble Thimbles. It was on and going before I got here, and I read about them in Quilters Newsletter. They had done a quilt called the Balloon Quilt for the Louisville Bicentennial, and they were featured in Quilters Newsletter. And when I was living in California and knew I was moving to Kentucky, I saw it and called up Pat Sturzel.
This is Joy Peterson. I am in Carnahan House in Lexington, Kentucky, in Fayette County, interviewing a quilter named Pat Scoville. This is April 7th, 1983. I believe that's all I need for a lead-in, Pat. We were talking about the Louisville Nimble Thimbles, and I wish you would continue with telling us more about the organization.
Okay, the Louisville Nimble Thimbles made a group quilt, a balloon quilt, and it was featured in the Quilters Newsletter magazine, and I called the president of the society and asked when they met so that I would know who to meet when I moved here. And so I did go to the Louisville Nimble Thimbles right when I first moved to Kentucky and met them right away. I don't really know how large they are. I would say 40 or 50 women that meet twice a month in Louisville at the United Kentucky Bank building on Brownsboro Road in Chenoweth Lane.
Well, you say they made a balloon quilt. Now, you were not a part of that, but I gather you've been a part of some of their other projects. Would you tell us a little bit about what projects you've participated in?
They've made a group quilt called Jeweled Hands All Around, and I pieced several blocks in that and did a little bit of quilting on that quilt. Now they've made a quilt called Infinity, which is contemporary work with a lot of different star blocks on a blue background, and I pieced two of those stars.
Would you tell us a little about the state organization?
Kentucky Heritage Quilt Society is a statewide organization that I became involved in shortly after I moved to Kentucky. And this year I have been the vice president in charge of programs for KHQS. And I've been involved in the interview training seminars, and also worked on public relations last year. They are involved in quilter interviewing, quilt documentation, workshops and programs for quilt makers, and we've had one quilt contest in 1982, and we'll have another quilt contest in 1984.
Could you tell me what you think is a Kentucky quilt? What's meant by the term? When someone says a Kentucky quilt, what do you think they're talking about?
I don't really have a feeling for what a Kentucky quilt is.
Have you ever taught anyone to quilt? And if so, where or under what circumstances?
Yes, I helped teach a quilt class in California. And I have taught quite a bit since I moved to Kentucky. I've taught at American Accents, and I've taught beginners, and I've taught some special techniques such as machine piecing a Lone Star, machine piecing a double wedding ring, clamshell applique quilt, some special items like a Santa Claus applique at Christmas time, pattern drafting. I've taught at the Museum of History and Science in Louisville, pattern drafting. I've taught workshops for the Kentucky Heritage Quilt Society. And now I teach in my own shop. And right now I've just taught beginners quilt making.
Do you enjoy teaching quilting?
Yes, I enjoy it.
What is there that's worthwhile or fulfilling about it, or what is there about it that you like?
Oh, I like just the association with other women that are interested in quilt making. And I like to encourage people to be creative and teach them something that I love to do so much. It's rewarding to teach.
Do you have any quilt books?
I have a lot of quilt books.
You got any favorites?
No, I really don't. I have so many of them, and some of them are picture books, and I like to sit and look at pictures and think about quilts. Other ones are pattern books. I can't, off the top of my head, think of any favorites. I can think of one favorite. Jenny Byers' book on Quilter's Album of Blocks and Borders. I love to look at those and think about using them in other quilts. I also like the Jenny Byers book on pattern drafting because I think it's like having a dictionary in your house. It's something you must refer to for technique on drafting patterns, and it's all there in that book. Other than that, I just kind of like to look at pictures of quilts that other people do, or just pictures of patterns and sort of imagine them in other quilts. I don't like to just buy books that have pattern templates already in them. I like to draft my own patterns and work on graph paper. Each one of the quilts that I've ever made, I've got all of the scribbling and scrawling that I do on graph paper stuck away in a file folder along with the templates. But I usually draw the whole quilt out first on graph paper in small scale before I even get started.
And as far as quilt magazines are concerned, you listed a few, but I wonder if you could tell us which ones you prefer.
Well, for different reasons, I like Ladies' Circle Patchwork Quilts for the historical quilts that are shown in the pictures. And getting introduced to people that are involved in quilt making in different states. I like Quilter's Newsletter just for all of it. And I like Fiber Arts for the very contemporary renditions of quilts that are being done now.
Do you take patterns from these magazines? And then do you follow the patterns exactly if you do?
I have made one quilt that I took directly from Quilter's Newsletter. The patterns. Mostly I don't.
Mm-hmm. What do you do with your finished quilts?
I have them at home. I don't give them away. I have had one on the bed, our bed. I have made quite a few wall hanging size pieces that I have hanging on the walls at home.
Do you quilt for other people?
No, I haven't to this point. I haven't made any quilts for anyone else.
What do you do with old quilts when they begin to wear out?
I don't have any that have begun to wear out, and I don't own any old quilts, I mean any antique quilts that I haven't made. All the quilts I own, I've made. I would like to own some old quilts that other people have made, but I don't yet.
How many quilts have you made?
Let's see. I've made, completed two full-size quilts. One, I have one in, that's not finished being quilted yet. I have one, two, oh, about six different small quilts, either baby-sized quilts or wall hangings. And I've participated in several quilts that I don't have.
Have any of your quilts been in shows or contests or state fairs? Or?
Yes, a lot of my quilts have been in shows and contests.
Can you tell us where some of them have been and what the circumstances have been and if you won any awards?
I have a rose wall hanging, a pieced rose wall hanging, and a Night and Noon full-size quilt. They were both in a museum show in San Diego. The rose quilt was sent to the Santa Clara Valley Quilt Association's quilt show in 1981. I made a Kentucky quilt for the Kentucky Heritage Quilt Society contest in 1982, which won a blue ribbon in the regional contest that was held at Locust Grove in Louisville, and won an honorable...
What category?
In the traditional category. And I won honorable mention at the state level quilt show that was held at the Horse Park in Lexington. That quilt has been in a show in Southern California, in the San Diego Quilt Guild's quilt show that was held in Poway, California in 1983. It is going to be in a show in Madison, Indiana in April of 1983. I have a Night and Noon quilt that was hung at the Liberty Gallery in a show in Louisville, Kentucky. And my Night and Noon quilt and my Rose quilt have just been sent to a show in Wheeling, what is the town in West Virginia, not Wheeling? Charleston, West Virginia. That will be in a show in April in Charleston, West Virginia. Oh, the museum in San Diego, I'll get back to that, was the Villa Montezuma Museum in San Diego. We had a quilt show there. I think that's all.
Would you describe your rose quilt that you're referring to?
It's a wall hanging. And it's a copy of Ruby McKim's pieced rose pattern, set together on end. The blocks are set on point with white blocks in between. And I did some heavy quilting in those areas in a rose design, and I quilted the background in a stippling fashion.
Would you tell us what on point is?
When you set a block on its point on the diagonal, that's a good description.
And tell us what stippling is.
Stippling is very, very close quilting that covers every little piece of the fabric. I would say rows that are eighth of an inch apart. And I did it behind a rose design, which made the roses that were quilted in the design stand out as if they were stuffed.
And would you describe to us your Night and Noon quilt?
It's in a deep red, and it's a pieced block. Night and Noon is a pieced block. And I set the blocks together without any stripping in between to get the interplay of what would happen when two blocks went together. And then I put solid borders around that and a flying geese border on the outer edge and did heavy grid quilting in this and feather cabled quilting in that quilt.
And then maybe you describe the one that won the contest, the Kentucky quilt.
It's a very pale green and red, dark red quilt, and it's the Kentucky chain piece block set together with the Kentucky Rose applique block. Every other block is pieced and every other block is applique, and then the border has some pieced work in it. And I wouldn't say the quilting is very heavy in that quilt. It's not outstanding. I mean, it's not a large part of the quilt.
And tell us the fabric that you use, the content of the fabric. What do you usually use? Cotton?
Most of my fabrics are 100% cotton. I do have some cottons that are, I mean, some fabrics that are 50-50 polyester cotton. But mostly I use all broadcloth weight cottons. I haven't tried any use of heavier fabrics or different fiber contents yet.
What about your thread? Would you tell us something about the thread that you prefer to use?
I have not really got a strong preference yet. I've been using cotton-covered polyester thread for the most part. I'm starting to use some all-cotton thread now that I have available to me.
What are the advantages of all-cotton thread as compared to that with the polyester covered?
I'm not real sure yet. I haven't determined whether I'm happier with one or the other. I've heard it said among other quilt makers that perhaps the cotton will not cut the fibers of the quilt. The cotton thread, if it's all cotton, it will be kinder to the quilt than perhaps cotton polyester, which we don't know enough about yet, and that may end up, the polyester fibers may end up cutting the fibers in the quilt ultimately in years to come. I don't think we're going to know the answers to those questions for years yet.
Do you use the same thread for piecing as you would use on the machine, or piecing by hand, as you would use on the machine, as you would use in hand quilting?
No, I don't. I use the same thread for piecing by hand as I would for piecing by machine, but I use quilting thread for quilting.
And what is quilting thread?
It's just a heavier, thicker coated thread, I suppose, that makes it easier to quilt. I have tried one quilt using non-quilting thread, just regular cotton-covered polyester thread on the quilt, because I was trying to match a certain color, and I have found that it is pulling some stitches, are pulling and breaking in it. I think that's because it's a queen-size quilt. I don't have any qualms about using non-quilting thread when I'm quilting on a wall hanging if I can't find any color that's just right for what I want. But I probably won't do it again in a quilt because it's too heavy and the thread is not strong enough. So that's a real good reason for using quilting thread, because it's stronger.
In your opinion, has there been any change in people's attitudes about quilting? If so, what would be the change? Why, if there has been, why do you think there's been a change?
Well, I think, yes, certainly. I think, it's my opinion that quilt making in the past has been a large part a salvage art where people recycled clothes or fabric. Now, that's not always true, because we know that there's a lot of fancy applique quilts that were made obviously from new fabrics. I think in the 30s, the quilt revival in the 30s, I really don't know, but I think that there was a lot of recycling of fabric then. I think now we're freer to go out and buy all new fabrics. I suppose it reflects some sense of affluence that quilt makers today have. In this new quilt revival of the 70s and 80s, we are more financially able to go out and buy new fabrics to piece quilts with, and an assortment of colors, and we don't have to make do with what we have. In some respects, I'm just musing here, but in some respects that takes away from the beauty of the old quilts, where you know that they were making do, and yet this wonderful art emerged from what they had. So I think attitudes have changed with the situation, the economic situation that we have now. And I think people are freer to do more innovative and avant-garde things now.
What's the value of quilting?
I don't know.
Why do you think it's worthwhile? Or do you think it's worthwhile?
Well, yes, I think it's worthwhile. I think that maybe that we're seeing this new quilt revival now as a response to our technological society and our busy, busy lives. And it's a time to sit and reflect and to make something with our hands and be creative. I think it's a peaceful thing to do. I think it's a reflective thing to do. A lot of handwork and a lot of art solves that same answer. To me, that's a value of it for me. I like being creative and I like sharing work with other people and being part of the camaraderie that goes on when you are involved in a craft and you get together with other women that are involved in the same craft. But a part of it's real important to me is in the alone time when you sit and quilt and just study on your life, be reflective and introspective, and it's peaceful.
What are the favorite colors that you usually use and why?
I like all kinds of colors. I tend to use an awful lot of red and green. I'm going to try to not do that so much in the future, but I don't know why I use a lot of red and green. It's just I'm stuck right now in shades of reds and greens.
Would you tell us your preference as far as using a floor frame or a hoop or what the advantages are, one or the other, or maybe you don't use either one?
Well, I think that a person needs to use something because it puts a nice tension in your work. I really think that it shows the quilting stitches in a different way. I use a hoop and a floor frame. And the floor frame, I like it very much because you can sit under it and it's not warm to hold a quilt in your lap. I like the fact that it doesn't need to be basted so much. And I like how you can get clear out to the edge of the quilt in a floor frame when you're quilting on it. The negative part about a floor frame is that it takes up an awful lot of room in your house, and unless you have the room to leave it up, it's in the way. But then when you do have a room to put it up in, it's usually where no one else is, so you're very alone when you're quilting on your quilt frame. It has pros and cons. I don't think I like to quilt with a hoop because it keeps me in the same room with the rest of the family. In the wintertime, it's wonderful because you have a quilt all over your lap and you're staying nice and toasty warm. In the summertime, that's unbearable. You can't even, you know. The quilt on the floor frame is the only way to quilt in the summertime. So if you really want to be quilting, you must have some system that is not on your lap smothering you in the summertime. I like the quilt hoop also because I can go off to quilt groups with my quilts, put them in a bag, take the hoop, and go and sew with other women, where you can't do that with a floor frame.
How have the materials used in quilting changed?
Well, I don't know that I think that they've changed so much. I think that we're still using a lot of 100% cottons. Although now, people are feeling more free to explore with things like velveteens or corduroys or silk and some of the blends, synthetic blends. I guess my materials haven't changed over the times that I've been quilting, but I would like to think that I was free to try some more innovative fabrics, textures, weights of fabric.
Could you explain to me what you think is a good quilt stitch and why?
Well, when I teach people, I teach them that they should make even stitches. And that as time goes on and they get more practice, the stitches will be smaller. When I started out quilting, I've always been able to make small stitches. I don't know why. I just sat down with the needle and was always making tiny stitches. But one of my first quilts, they are not even. And see, now that bothers me more now. I was really so pleased with myself for making these teeny stitches that I wasn't worrying about even. I would get myself into seam situations where I was quilting through the seam. And they were tiny, but they were farther apart because they were having to go through so much fabric. And the next line would be tiny and teeny and close together, and that doesn't look right together. So I try to encourage people to make even stitches, and that small will come with time. I also think it's important that the back look as good as the front, that you're picking up as much in the back as you need to so that the back looks the same as the front. That's something you have to learn, to pick up as much of the back as you have on the front.
What size needle are you using for quilting?
I tend to use around a 9 or a 10 because I put a lot of stress on a needle because of the way I quilt. And I break the little teeny ones too much.
Do you use a thimble?
Absolutely. I can't quilt without a thimble. When I hold a needle, the end of it is going into the very end of my thimble. And it,
do you put 2, 3, how many stitches on the needle when you're quilting?
I would say 3 or 4, unless I'm going around a curve, and then I try, you know, 2 or 3, since you can't make nice curves if you try to grab too many at once.
Do you ever embroider on your quilts, or use cross stitch, crewel, or another type of embroidery?
No, I've never done that.
Do you sign your quilts?
Absolutely.
How do you go about signing them, and what do you sign on?
I guess I do embroider on my quilts. I embroider my name. And it looks horrible because I'm a terrible embroiderer. And I'm always embarrassed that I've spent all this wonderful time on a quilt making it just neat. And then I write this name and it looks like I've just learned how to write.
Do you do it on the back where it's not seen, or in a corner of the front? Or?
No, I do it on the back, and I sign my name and the year. I think that in the future I'm going to try to find a different way to do it, whether it be quilting in the design or doing some cross stitch on the back or something. I think it's very important to sign your quilts.
What is your very favorite quilt pattern and why?
I don't think I have a favorite quilt pattern. There are too many wonderful quilt patterns. I can't think of a favorite.
What can you tell me about quilters in your family that we have not already discussed?
I don't think I can think of anything else. My mother does have a funny, my mother grew up in an era where you did use the old fabrics and you recycled fabrics and you recycled clothes, and I think she looks at me with a little bit of dismay when she sees all this new fabric, like I'm an extremely extravagant child and haven't learned thrift yet.
When you go to buy fabric, how much do you buy?
Depends on how rich I feel it. If I've hit a good sale and I feel really like I have a little money left over, I might buy 3 or 4 yards. Depends on how much I like the fabric. If it's on sale, I'll buy 3 or 4 yards. If it's not, maybe 1 or 2 yards. If I'm just buying fabrics that I love, I will spend whatever it takes to finish off a quilt in the fabrics that it needs.
Well, I appreciate you giving us this interview, and I know it'll be valuable in the archives. I have a little room left on this tape, and if there is something else you think that we have not covered that would be worthwhile covering, I wish you'd say so.
I can't think of anything else, but you're welcome to come back and ask me some more.
Well, good. I'd like to come over and actually do some photography at your house. I would like to get some pictures so we can put in the folder with your interview.
Okay. I'd like for you to do that.
Thank you.